Thank you all for joining us for the Dispersed Renewable Generation Transmission Study webinar to update you all on the progress of the study. We have here Matt Scherger, who is the transmission, who is acting on behalf of the Office of Energy Security as the study chair. And we have Jared Alhelina from Great River Energy, who is acting as the transmission study team lead. I just wanted to let people know that we will answer questions via the webinar tool through the chat log after the webinar is done. So please hold your questions until then, and unless you see something really outstanding, and then just type it in there. With that, you can type that in during the webinar as well. Thanks. With that, I'm going to hand it over to Matt Scherger. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. This is Matt Scherger. As Lisa said, I'm the chair of the Technical Review Committee for the Dispersed Renewable Generation Study, and I'm representing Minnesota Office of Energy Security. Today we want to give a little bit of a we want to give a brief update on the Dispersed Renewable Generation Study Phase 2. We'll start with an overview. I'll give an overview of the study requirements, and then Jared Alhelina will step through the initial scoping and study status. As was outlined in the announcement for this webinar, the study is scheduled to be completed by September 15th, and there will be a public webinar on that date to talk about specific findings and results and conclusions. And so also, as Lisa Trudeau mentioned in the introduction, if you have questions or comments as we step through this brief update today, please type them in on the webinar and on the chat box. And then when we get to the end of the presentation, we'll take a look at those questions and try to respond as best we can to those questions as they've been submitted in writing. As I think many folks on the call know, that there was a state legislation in 2007 that required a statewide study of dispersed renewable generation potential to identify locations in the transmission grid where a total of 1,200 megawatts of relatively small renewable energy projects could be connected. This study requirement has been organized into two phases of 600 megawatts each. The first phase was completed in June 2008, our current work focuses on the phase two, a second 600 megawatts, which again, as I mentioned, is due on September 15th of this year. For the purposes of this study, dispersed renewable generation is relatively small projects between 10 and 40 megawatts each that utilizes eligible energy technologies. For the purposes of this study, it's focused on wind and solar projects largely. The study participants that are required, each electric utility in Minnesota is required to participate in the study. So there's an analytic team under overall leadership by Department of Commerce, Office of Energy Security. The technical leadership is Great River Energy in collaboration with the Minnesota Electric Utilities. As I'll talk about in a moment, there's a technical review committee which I chair on behalf of Office of Energy Security, which provides overall review and guidance of the study. So this slide just shows the outlines and requirements for the first phase of the study. Again, this was completed in June of 2008. I think most folks on the call are familiar with that phase one report and the contents and approach. It is posted on the Office of Energy Security website. That's www.energy.mn.gov. And you can find that phase one study and associated presentations posted there. That phase one, as I think folks recall, was focused on a 2010 year transmission study model and looking at fitting 600 megawatts of dispersed generation, renewable generation, on that model that was based on 2010. This just outlines again some of the additional requirements and contents of the study, and again, this is kind of a review of what was done in phase one and the overall requirements that carry over for phase two of the study. I talked a little bit about the technical review committee. This was a key part of the phase one study, and again, is a key part of phase two as well. The technical review committee is it's a group of national, regional, and state technical experts representing a variety of folks: National Energy Labs, Wind and Community Energy Advocates, Minnesota Utilities, Midwest ISO. It's a gathering of folks that have technical expertise in transmission systems, renewable energy, dispersed generation. And so it's really a hands-on group that's looking at reviewing overall scope of this of both phase one and now phase two, but also methods and assumptions, and reviewing preliminary results as well as the draft report. So again, this is a key part of the study process and the way that we're arriving at study findings and conclusions. So it's really, while the study is under the overall leadership of the Office of Energy Security and the technical lead is by the Minnesota Utilities, it's really through the guidance of this broader participation technical review committee that we're working through the study and working through the results. So again, these two slides talk a little bit about that technical review committee and the requirements of that, and these are the same as were in place for the phase one study. So the Office of Energy Security appointed this technical review committee prior to phase one in July of 2007, and the technical review committee has continued in place through phase one and now through phase two. And now as we move to talking more specifically about phase two, again, it's similar to the requirements. The core requirements are similar to phase one. We're looking at the addition of 600 megawatts more of dispersed renewable generation and analysis of that. And we've shifted through the enabling legislation from the requirements has shifted from a focus on the 2010 transmission model in phase one to the current study work. The phase two work is focused on a generally accepted 2013 transmission system model. So we're stepping forward in time here in the phase two. And again, this is this webinar today is just a brief update on study status and schedule. We will have a more extensive presentation when the study is completed on September 15th, and there will be a public webinar on September 15th to really roll out the results and findings at that time. So at this point, I'd like to turn the presentation over to Jared Alhelina of Great River Energy, who is leading the technical team. And again, he's doing technical work in collaboration with the Minnesota Utilities under review and guidance of the overall technical review committee. So Jared, you want to pick it up from there?
Thank you, Matt. This is Jared Alhelina, the DRG study team lead. I am here on behalf of the Minnesota Transmission Owning Utilities who are funding this study. We'll start off with comments that we received from the public prior to the start of DRG Phase 1. It does say that one comment was received. I suppose it could say that comments were received from one party. But I would like to iterate that this was a very valuable input into DRG Phase 2, and we as a study team and the TRC instituted several of these comments. You're just seeing the slide come up here now. The first comment was ignore Dorsey loop flow issue, and this came up in DRG Phase 1, and we do discuss this in the report, and I am not going to elaborate it on here on this webinar. And looking at different generator sync assumptions, one of the things is that the TRC and the study team thought we should try to best mimic a MISO generation interconnection study. And being that this is reality-based, looking at the environment that we're dealing with, and most of the generators studied in this region are undertaken by the Midwest ISO. And as such, we did a market dispatch. We dispatched it to the MISO market system. Also, I'll talk later about studying 1,200 megawatts or more, and as well, bullet number 4 will be discussed later. And looking more in depth in our zone analysis, we did study this in more depth, and we looked at various generation outlet capabilities in each of the zones at various levels, and then we did tabulate the limiters and the costs, and this will be shown in the report. The last bullet, perform a sensitivity on the CapEx 2020 lines. This is included in the grid expansion that will be discussed later in this presentation. The initial ideas coming from the TRC were to, of course, identify 600 megawatts. This is the legislative requirement and purpose of this study. The next was DRG sensitivity, ProMod analysis, and looking at DRG opportunities with grid expansion. These will be discussed in this webinar here. I would like to just let the public know what kind of effort this took just to undertake this study of this magnitude. We have put 1 year of effort into this study, and in terms of studies, this time went by in almost a blink. There were 5 study team members, and they were working almost full time. And it being a collaborative study between the utilities and the TRC, it was one of those proverbial take 2 steps forward and 1 step back. In terms of the statistics behind it, we put in over 2,500 hours of computing time, and at our peak time and analysis, we had 6 computers running for several weeks straight, and our job was basically to manage them and determine what the output meant and how to move forward. In identifying the 600 megawatts, we undertook a number of assumptions, and one of those was how to account for the prior queue generation. And there was almost 60,000 megawatts in just the MISO queue in a 5-state region, Minnesota and the 4 adjoining states. And we realized that we should put some generation into the model, especially considering that in Phase 1 we were looking at a 2010 time frame and now we were looking at a 2013. And the decision was made through much discussion to add about 7,000 megawatts to the transmission model in the 5-state region. And this is detailed all of in the study report. We talked about using the MISO market dispatch. We had talked about the 1.5% conservation requirements, and this will be discussed later in the webinar. We did utilize the Phase 1 model as kind of our starting point, but still this was a mammoth effort in order to update the generation and the transmission topology. We added into the model portions of the CapEx Group 1 lines. There was a major line in Iowa, and there was also some transmission associated with generation that was going to be installed. Some of the keynotes of what we didn't include into the model were Big Stone 2 generation and the transmission, nor was the Excelsior plant and its transmission in, put into the model. We did not study beyond 600 megawatts, and there was much discussion between the study team and the TRC regarding this. And we came to a couple key conclusions. This number one is that in phase one, identifying 600 megawatts was a difficult task. And looking at the model, the additional generation, we realized that it would not get any easier in this phase two. And also, some additional DRG opportunities were going to be examined in the grid expansion exercise. And as such, we identified an additional 600 megawatts over the 600 that were identified in phase one. Move to the next slide here. And I just want to talk about the 1.5% energy conservation and how we dealt with that and the discussions and our reasoning behind our conclusion. The 1.5% energy conservation comes from a Renewable Energy Act passed in 2007 in the state of Minnesota. And when we were talking about this as a study team in the TRC, we realized that the loads that are in the model already include the effects of 0.7% conservation. And so adding another 8 over 3 years, the compounding effects would be quite minimal. And just kind of a quick look at things, we thought it would be about a difference of 100 megawatts. And knowing the amount of effort with all the utilities in gathering this data and coming up with the difference, we considered this, but we decided as a TRC and study group not to include this into the study assumption. There were also, in considering renewable generation, specifically wind, where you have a variable fuel source and a fluctuating power output, and also considering the coincidence of all the turbines being at full output at the same time would be quite low. And so we started looking at what people were doing around the region, and starting from DRG phase one, where we assumed that 100% of the wind was on in both summer peak and summer off-peak conditions. There are different organizations that look at this nameplate and how to model the wind differently. The MRO models it 20% summer on-peak and 35% summer off-peak. MISO does it slightly differently, and we as a TRC and study team looked at it, considered it, and we decided to model the existing wind at 20% during summer on-peak. And then during a shoulder peak, we would examine it at 90%. And this assumption was carried through the study and is mentioned and described in the study report. One of the comments that we received from the public was to expand the wind net capacity factor 2 miles around each substation. And to contrast this, what we did in phase one, we looked right at the substation. And the reason that this comment is very, very valuable is that a substation may be located in a valley, but yet 1 mile away up on a ridge, there may be adequate wind resources. And so looking at the wind resources or the net capacity factor in a 2 mile radius around a substation really increases the number of wind opportunities around the state. And so we undertook this. And it was really quite a chore to go into our mapping software, put these circles throughout the state, and then pick the highest point within that 2 mile radius and assign it to the substation. And when we did that, we noticed there was the number of sites greatly increased around the state, but specifically in Northeast planning zone, there were an extreme number of increased sites of very good sites in the Northeast zone. And especially when you look at the map on this screen, you can see why they call it the land of 10,000 lakes. There's a lot of waters. This, again, created a lot of discussion between the study team and the TRC, and considering a number of factors that are listed here, we decided to screen out all of the water areas. And this is described in more detail, or will be, in the report that you'll be able to look at September 15th. And I'm going to go behind the process that we used to filter this out. This was a special tool that we ended up purchasing, Spatial Analyst, and it works in tandem with kind of an ArcView, ArcGIS data mapping tool that we already use. And in the first block, we're looking here at Red Lake, and we can see right in this block that takes up a fair amount of space, and any substation within 2 miles would basically be looking at the wind quality right on the lake. And so in step number two, or box number two, we assign the wind net capacity factor, and the net capacity factor in the lake is greater than 35%. And which passes our screening process. So what we did is we, in our mapping tool, we assigned a wind net capacity factor of 0 to all the water areas. And then when we did the screening again, any water areas would show up as 0, and we would look for other maximum points in order to assign to the substation. And this is just one of many examples of challenges that we had to overtake and overcome as we were going through this study process. We'll talk a little bit now about some of the additional exercises we undertook in addition to locating the 600 megawatts. One of them is called DRG sensitivity analysis, as we called it. And what we were looking at is how can we look at the MISO queue and to determine the effects of DRG opportunities throughout the state. And what we ended up doing was we added 500 megawatts to various points around the state, and then we monitored 132 sites throughout the state that were geographically and electrically diverse. And then we looked at the outlet capabilities before adding 500 megawatts and then after adding 500 megawatts. This analysis did take place. We looked at it a number of different ways, but you know, there were as many ways as we analyzed it, there were as many ways to interpret the data. And we also realized that many aspects of this analysis could be zeroed in on and looked at, but after extensive discussions, we had decided that no clear conclusion could be reached, and as such, we decided not to include it into the report. The next item that only made it to the discussion stage within the TRC and the study team was PROMOD analysis. You can read the bullet points here, and it looks at a number of different things, but the TRC and the study team decided not to pursue this, and no analysis was done. The next exercise that we examined was the grid expansion. And what we were trying to do is determine what effects in terms of DRG does adding additional high voltage network projects to the model. And what we did is we would look at our base case with no additional transmission, and we examine the outlet capability at 132 sites around the state. And then we would add in certain projects and in certain combinations and then re-examine the outlet capability at those 132 sites. The types of projects that we added to the model to determine the effects were the remaining CapEx Group 1 lines, Big Stone generation and transmission, a corridor project that's been talked about, and that involves a line between Granite Falls and the Twin Cities. I'm not going to go into the detail or what we found in the results, but the data will be included and discussion will be located in the report. As far as the schedule, the meetings between the TRC and the study team, we had 3 all-day in-person meetings, and then we had 8 shorter web conferences, And then also, we did have some interim results that were sent to the TRC between these meetings and the web conferences. We do have one web conference remaining, and that is to review the report and discuss the report and take comments from the TRC to ensure that collectively we are one-minded behind the conclusions and the discussion within the report. Our next steps at this point in time is the completion of the study report. It is in draft form at this time, and we are examining it. There will be the public webinar that Matt Sugar had mentioned, September 15th, and this is when the draft report will be made available. And also on that date is when the report is due to the Public Utility Commission. At this point, we'll take a moment to review any questions submitted via the interactive web conference tools.
And we didn't.
Thank you, Jared. This is Matt Sugar. Appreciate everybody joining us for this brief update. We're not seeing any questions come in through the chat log now, so we will wrap up here for today, but we look forward to folks joining us for a more extensive presentation on September 15th, where we'll review the report findings and conclusions. And with that, we're wrapped up today. Thank you very much.